Good morning. It is Wednesday, April 15th, and once again, we are doing this show remotely with both Brian and our guest. Who do we have on today's show?
Hey, Rex.
Hi, Brian.
That kind of pretty much sums it all up, yeah. So you have the view today, and I have the back bedroom with surrounded by books, so I'm not sure I won on this deal.
No,
okay, so today is Wednesday the 15th. Normally, it's like tax day is almost due here, but it's been bumped back also. Winston, you want to do the why do we say that so we can get this thing rolling?
If you insist. Plus fours. How did golfers' short pants come to be called plus fours?
Well, Rex, you were talking about wardrobe options earlier before the show, so
yeah,
why don't you tackle this one?
I don't have a clue.
Ordinary knickerbockers, or knee breeches, were not full enough at the knees to allow a full swing while playing golf. So in making golf knickers, 4 inches were added to the length of the seam to allow the knickers to hang over the knees and thus give the player enough slack. The tailor's notation for this was plus four.
Oh, so that's how Payne Stewart got his attire. Good for him.
Yeah.
So how's the county performing so far, Rex? What kind of grade would you give us?
Oh, maybe a B minus. I mean, I think that's high, because we're doing something we've never done before, at least at this level. And I think the way the employees have stepped up, at the same time being extremely cautious for their health, but fully aware that they're going home to their families and having to protect their health also. So we have the OES, the emergency team, and everybody that's gone out there. We've done some made some great strides. We've leased a motel and got rooms throughout the county for our most vulnerable population, and that gives us a nice lead into keeping those rooms maybe later down the line and solving some of those issues. But as we move forward on this, I think they've done a pretty good job, and the reason it's not an A is we could have done so much stuff better. But the problem is we've never done it before, as I said, and it's just It's easy to armchair quarterback this thing to hell.
Oh, sure. Sure. But, yeah, and the one thing, though, is that there really are no limits. I heard something this morning, and I don't know if it was CBS. I think it was Ion on Veterans, or one of those programs we have early on, that they are estimating that only 10% of the total those who have died or who have been affected or infected in China are being officially reported. And I think that this thing there was much higher. And by comparison, what we have done here in the States are, we've learned how to do this kind of stuff a little bit quicker and perhaps a little bit better, too, because of that transparency, so that everybody was aware of what was going on as it went from community to community.
Yeah, I think there's it's like two different pandemics if you watch one news channel and then watch the other news channel. And I would almost like to say, okay, let's quit leading off every statement with a political candidate's idea how they would have fixed it and worry about the people that are out on the streets that we're trying to fix it for and focus on that, because it almost sounds like every speech is a stumping speech, and they're missing the bypass. So we're trying to make sure we're doing the best for the people. And I know we're getting, I mean, I'm getting inundated with people. Why can't we go to work? We only have this many, you know, people sick and everything else. It's because the only reason we have that many people sick is because we've done a fairly good job and trying to testing. We're doing as many tests as we can get tests for. We're not seeing, you know, as many people, it looks like, with the symptoms, it seems like. But you got to understand is things are still climbing in L.A. I mean, they still have a problem in L.A. New York just had their biggest days in death yesterday. And my biggest fear is that's still on our on our soils, any way you look at it. And they're not flying, and they could drive everywhere. If we open things up too soon and other people are shut down, they're going to go, well, let's go up there. They're opened up. Let's go vacation. Let's go do that and bring what we've got with us. And I just, and is that dramatic? Yeah, because we just don't know. We just don't know. And it's in, and I, there has to be a point where we figure out the economic collapse to the health collapse. And I know I've had half of people say, well, it's only a tenth of 1% or a quarter of 1% or half of 1% die. And, you know, those numbers are really low unless you're part of that quarter or half a percent. And then they're 100%. Sure. So, I mean, that's the scary part. And we're trying to look out. We're trying to talk with all the different experts. I'm not an infectious disease specialist. We're pretty lucky with Dr. Luskin Hawks up at St. Joe's. She's an infectious specialist. That was her thing. So she is so wise on this and everything else. So it's great listening to her. Dr. Frankovich, she actually came on board, I think, in January, and now she's dealing with this. And I she prefaces everything. Well, I've never had an epidemic. Everybody prefaces it. They've never had to face a situation like this before. And nobody wants to be the person that says, we opened up first and we had the biggest surge ever when it came back for the second time.
Right. I saw something this morning that Nebraska is looking at opening up the outlet mall in Omaha at the end of this month. They've had a total of 871 reported positives and two deaths in the state. And that they may be the first state that breaks. They are, or Mississippi, because they both have had such low numbers. So you're right. It's going to start happening. What are we going to look at as far as the when we do it and just follow what the governor says?
Well, we're under mandate to do what the governor says. In all honesty, I know a lot of people are differing in different counties and stuff because I don't think there's enough. I think there's just not enough law enforcement to enforce everybody that's not doing it. But locally, we've been.
We'll pick up with this when we come back after the break.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning from the Palatial Studios with Rex Bone. I don't know, Rex, are you feeling confined where you are? I'm not.
I'm actually was heading down to the office. Usually what I put my day, usually, because I have everything, the computers and everything I need to do at the office, and we're on limited staff, and a lot of our staff working from home. I can drive down to work, walk in, go into my office and do stuff all day there and go through and follow up on that and really have very little interaction with anybody. I have my mask and then I stay there until the end of the day, and or if I've got to go out. And I actually took a cruise through the Mattole Valley the other day and didn't really stop and talk to anybody. Just wanted to look at some of the construction we've got going out there and some of the stuff we're going to do, and just needed to get out there and didn't have any problem social distancing because I don't think I got within 30 feet of anybody. But it was
yeah.
It was just,
well, you know,
good
nobody
to get
wants,
out.
Nobody wants to get that close to you anyway. So what the heck?
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, my personality creates social distancing. So
what are going to be some of the benchmarks that the county's going to be using? Whether we're doing it good, we're doing it bad, we need to do something different in this area and that area, are we performing okay or not? How are you going to know that stuff? Is there a scale or a reference point, or is it just seated pants right now.
There's a plan, but the plan is basically very fluid, and it's changing a lot because as the numbers move, as the criteria move statewide, as their rules change, and as I was saying earlier, we have to follow the state's guidelines. The governor put out the rules on their emergency order. We put out an emergency order so we can be available for some of the emergency funds and things like that. But the other reason is, as we follow his orders, we can make his orders stricter. We can take his orders and make them tougher. We just can't lessen them at all. We can't lighten the load at all on his. And that's kind of the way it goes on state rules and all that stuff. So why we're trying to manipulate this in, you know, and we're not doing this in a silo. We're talking to everybody. We're talking up and down the state. CSAC has a huge presence with dealing with the governor. RCRC, because of the rural counties, making sure. I mean, we're not running up the percentages of cases, but you know, per capita, we're, you know, somewhere in there, and so we want to. You know, you take LA. I mean, San Francisco has less than 1,000 cases. So
yeah,
I don't know.
And that's really been kind of curious, isn't it? How LA and San Francisco are so low compared percentage basis.
LA had a little bump, but maybe the governor got something right. You know, and when he started this, so I keep hearing that we did a little bit better job on that. I guess can you ever be too paranoid? I don't know. And you know,
there's a joke in there somewhere, I know.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the fact we just don't have the answers as we move forward. The other thing is economically, this has to play into it somewhere. And I mean, and I realize that because I hear that every day from numerous people. So I think we're going to start, if our numbers hold and we start getting anything else, I think we'll start seeing something in 2 to 3 weeks and middle of then. And I'm being fully, this is me being fully hopeful rather than speaking from what I actually know. I think by the middle of May, I think the screws will start being loosened up to where we can actually start being a little more fluid. But I can tell you before we do that, this isn't me speaking, I think it's the visual that we have to show to everybody. And what that means is we need the masks. We need the social distancing. We need to prove to everybody else that we can do this and have everybody's well-being in first and foremost. So masks, there's so many. I can't believe how many people made masks and how many masks are out there and people are making masks. It absolutely amazes me.
That's kind of been a stunner for Ange and Stefan too. How many masks? I think they're approaching 700 or something like that.
Yeah, I know, and I was going to mention that. I mean, just everybody stepped up and did it and are getting them out. So I mean, I think it's great. So I think we just have to prove to everybody we can still. The last thing we want to do is see Sequoia Park with 250 people at a birthday party. You know, the first week we start to loosen up some of the rules.
Right. I think that I would suspect that there will still be a limit maybe of 20 instead of 8 or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Just to kind of gradually wade into the shallow end of the pool, so to speak.
And I can't even speculate on the numbers. It just is a situation where we do have to try to get back to normalcy sometime.
Yeah,
can be scared.
Yeah, I think after the break we can talk a little bit about some of the economic impact and the cost to the county too. You know, we have had a fair amount of exposure to some of the options and opportunities that there is for the private sector, but for the public sector, you guys are taking a pounding either now or you will in the next fiscal cycle. So we'll spend a little bit of time talking about some of those planning steps that are being put in play now too.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Stay in the truck, man.
Huh? I need to roll my window down.
Yeah, yeah. Rexy's at points undisclosed right now.
I'm sitting right out here looking at the boats at Woody Island, I'm telling you the truth.
Yeah, that's right. He's doing a seagull census count right now.
Yep, yeah.
Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. So, Rex, we hear an awful lot about opportunities for private sector business entities to apply for this or to apply for that. And I think the nearest a lot of us have is that it's similar to what FEMA does when there's an earthquake or a flood. Okay, kind of got that one figured out. But for the governmental side, is there any discussion about making you guys and gals whole? Because so much of the general fund is driven by sales tax. Well, if we're buying, or worse yet, if we're buying at Amazon, that stuff never hits the local coffers. We don't get the economic stimulation. We don't get the spend. We don't get any of that kind of stuff. And now the cops and the roads and the libraries and all the general fund areas are going to be off by whatever that percentage is.
Yeah, we heard a number of 1.5 to 2%, and I think it's going to be more like 4 to 6, because, I mean, I can tell you right now, just from gas, from what it looks like, gasoline sales have to be down because there is less traffic. Some days it doesn't seem like it, but there is less traffic. There's no doubt about that. So gasoline sales are going to be down a little bit. Fuel sales, I know the transit companies cut back their bus lines back to almost a half. Because I mean, we don't have CR, we don't have Humboldt School, we don't have the kids coming over from Willow Creek, so we just don't have the ridership, and so they've adjusted those schedules to meet the people's needs, but also to be somewhat financially prudent. So as we move forward and look at this, there is some government monies available, some offsets, but there's also the offsets of their delaying, you know, sales tax payments. So now what are we going to do for the next, if they delay our sales tax payments? Property tax, we're giving people, if they're involved in the COVID, if they're involved, if they can show that the COVID affected their financials, the penalty will be waived for the next 60 days, till June 11th, I believe, for 60 days. And they just fill out a little affidavit saying, hey, this was the issue, and we'll waive their penalties, their 10 and the 20% and things like that. But it's the idea of getting that property tax in 60 days late, because we're bound to start paying out that second installment of property tax payments to all the special districts that we support. And I think there's like, I think 63 school bonds out there or something like that. They get a chunk of it that have to get issued money. And so there's a lot of money that comes out of that sales tax dollar and that has to be distributed. So those issues are coming up for some of these smaller districts that plan the whole budget around their payments twice a year from us. So the offsets are there. There is some governmental money. There is some, private enterprise. They ran out of money so quick, so they're trying to get some more money in there. They're fighting over that. Because the big part of economic stimulus is to make sure that we put money into this, that, and everything else. There's a lot of pork thrown in on the back end, so the most of the meal can be on the table. So it's the political, part of it that, and every once in a while they just need to get that part out of it that says they need to do the humanitarian part, do what's right for our communities.
You said earlier that you were out driving the Wildcat and checking things out and patrolling and stuff. The really rural portions of our county, are they faring any differently than what you might sense in a McKinleyville or a Eureka or a Fortuna?
Oh, I think they have the same concerns. I noticed Petroleum Store was working out of a side window. They were, you know, like the social distancing was taking place out there. Honey stores hadn't moved their picnic tables because that's a gathering place for people, and it's just a natural place to go. It's part of the day. You take your break from whatever you're doing, or you run to the store, and you see all your neighbors because you don't live on the street with 20 houses, so you get to see NBS and see what's going on. Same thing, I imagine, at Alder Point and Wichipec and all the way to Orleans and going all the other different places that these people. So I think people are becoming aware, and that's the big part about relaxing everything is making sure everybody can still follow the social distancing, just being smart. Think about all you have to think about. Don't think about you getting sick. Think about going home and getting your grandparents sick or somebody that's vulnerable sick. And how would that make you feel? I think that's the best analogy I heard. Are you willing to give that to somebody that you love that's vulnerable?
You had indicated in the past, or earlier in the show rather, that the county is doing some sheltering for vulnerable. Is that the seniors that are on the medical equipment that might be on their own or isolated, or who is that?
Two different things. We are doing people that are the vulnerable population, so that's people that have medical conditions already, that have, you know, some medical deficiencies already that make them vulnerable to COVID. And then for people that are houseless, over 65 years of age, that want to be put in something. We're renting rooms and doing some aspects along those lines. I see where Arcata's opened up a couple parking lots, and I applaud them for that. I don't know if that's what the city of Eureka is going to do, and I don't know if that's where the county's going to go. We're looking. Nothing's off the table, but for right now, we're trying to acquire rooms. We've had some support. St. Joe's is being supportive. Everybody's being supportive on helping the most vulnerable and the houseless folks.
KINS News and Information, Times 8:42. We'll be back with more from Rex.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, are you impressed with some of the creativity that you're seeing here in the area, from new ideas to new applications of old ideas, and just kind of how everybody's trying to keep things together?
Well, I really do appreciate the businesses that are staying open and the creative ways that they are staying open, the curbside services and a lot of the food vendors, because they're just trying to hang on. They're trying to do their best. Some of their businesses just don't allow for it, but some have got outside the box and made it work for them. Somebody said they're doing 6 to 8% of their normal sales, but they're able, that's just enough. He says they're saying it's just enough to keep some of their help a little busy, and to keep the wheels and keep them viable to a certain extent. They're not making any money. They're just not losing as much money. So, and then you take a look at some of the other businesses around town. But there's some huge layoffs coming, I know. We get the Warren Act papers when somebody's doing a large layoff, and we've got three of them so far in the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, these are people that are just going to have to get laid off and then get rehired. When business goes back up.
And we're supposed to be getting those stimulus checks are hitting the accounts, I think, starting yesterday.
So I'd say any Saturday, I guess.
Yeah, a couple of them, but somewhere around 120 to 125 million into Humboldt County. How it's spent, obviously, is the wild card.
Well, and it's just that's good. The unemployment kick and bonus from the stimulus from the feds on the unemployment pact will help a little bit, but. But the idea is it's not the economy working. It's just money being put into the economy. But the manufacturing, the construction, the actually doing the work is not happening. So that's always going to affect another aspect of the food chain.
Does the county have any expectation or any projections on, okay, let's say all the doors were peeled off and we're no longer sheltering, how long it's going to take for everybody to kind of get back up to speed?
I don't think that model is made because that model keeps changing. But I think the models, I think it's the old term, there's more light at the end of the tunnel every day than there was. Because you see in New York, even though they get their high level of deaths, their number of hospitalizations have dropped. So things are changing every day, and I think the OES is working on a plan, and basically it's almost like going swimming. You put your foot in first, see how cold the water is, you get a little bit more in, then all of a sudden, oh, to hell with it, I'm just going in. I think that's kind of where we're going to be at. Well, hopefully there's no
sharks out there in that pool also. Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right, bud. Appreciate it. Stay safe.
All right. Hang in there.